I'm talking with Philip Muskin, who is a professor of clinical psychiatry at Columbia University Medical Center in New York. And we're talking today about integrating CAM into the treatment of patients with anxiety and depression. Dr. Muskin, can you explain CAM and what the term means?
The term means complementary and alternative medicine. Some people use integrative medicine or holistic care as well. And what it refers to is complementary, meaning things that are added on to traditional treatments, or alternative, that is replacing traditional treatments with techniques or substances that are not in the normal or typical, I wouldn't say normal, but typical way that we address a variety of different disorders.
So can you describe how it differs from traditional therapies?
I'm not so sure it really does differ from traditional therapies. And in some ways, the entire idea of CAM, I think, is being replaced by integrative. And that's why it's a better term. Let me give you a couple of examples. Let's say you're a psychotherapist, and you primarily do insight-oriented psychotherapy. You have a patient who you really think would benefit from a cognitive behavioral approach for a particular problem that you don't think insight-oriented psychotherapy would be great for, and you're not trained in CBT. So you call a colleague and send the patient to that colleague who does CBT. What's complementary? The CBT or the insight-oriented psychotherapy? Let's say that you're a psychiatrist and you do both psychotherapies and pharmacotherapy. You put a patient on a medication, but you realize that that patient would really benefit, as the medication starts to work, from talk therapy. Is the talk therapy complementary to the pharmacotherapy? What if, after a while, you stop the pharmacotherapy and just continue the talk therapy? Is that alternative? So I think we have a real problem in our terminology, and some of the therapies that we use today started out as CAM. For instance, aspirin, the entire concept of aspirin was homeopathic, and it started in England. Aspirin is a wonder drug. We don't consider it alternative or homeopathic, but that's how it started out.
So we're talking about outcomes. When you integrate CAM, integrate it. Do you find the outcomes positive in most cases? And if not, can you address what factors might affect a positive outcome?
Let me answer that question by giving a couple of examples. You have a patient who is doing reasonably well, but you think might benefit from some greater mood stabilization. You don't think the patient is a candidate for lithium. You don't think the patient is a candidate for valproic acid. But based on the research, you think that omega-3 fatty acid might help that patient. So you start the patient on omega-3 fatty acids, that is fish oil. When do you evaluate that? Week one, week two, week three? It might be months before you and the patient realize together that that patient's moods have been much more stable. So one of the issues about outcomes, and I think one of the issues about many of the CAM treatments, is they may take a long time to evaluate. And some of the data, quite frankly, is not as robust as the kind of data that we're used to and that I think people expect when they come for therapy. That is, has this been compared to placebo? Has it been studied in a very rigorous way, that many of the alternative treatments are not subject to the kind of scientific rigor that therapists and patients have come to expect.
Okay. When have you found this kind of treatment most appropriate or effective? Or on the other side, when do you find it's inappropriate?
I'm going to start with inappropriate first.
Okay.
Inappropriate often comes when people go to a vitamin shop and get advice from the clerk. Not that the clerks aren't well-meaning, but they're not trained. they may not know the individual particularly well. They may not know that the herbs or the other substances that they're suggesting might interact badly with the traditional medications that the individual takes. I'll give you an example that the same thing that we talked about before. Fish oil has been shown to have a beneficial effect on arrhythmias. That's abolished if the person is also taking a statin. Now, since the FDA approval for fish oil is for high triglycerides, and people with high triglycerides have high cholesterol, they may be taking both, and the beneficial effect of the fish oil is undone by the statin. Now, those are two, obviously, FDA-approved medications. So I think the inappropriate use often comes from getting inexperienced advice, and also comes to some extent from the therapist or the physician not asking the individual, how do you take care of yourself? Now, I said it that way because that's not pejorative. If I say to somebody, well, what of those things do you take? That's not such an inviting comment. But if I ask you, how do you take care of yourself? Well, I take a vitamin, and I take fish oil, and I exercise, and I try to meditate, that we often find out all the things people do well-meaning, but sometimes not so good for themselves. So that's the inappropriate. What about the appropriate use? I think that there are three different places that I would put it. The first are people who really are not comfortable with traditional treatments, primarily medications. They don't want to take an antidepressant. They don't want to take an anti-anxiety drug, sometimes inappropriately, sometimes appropriately, but nonetheless, they're the consumer, and they have the right to say, I don't want to do that. I think that's one place where alternative and therapies and substances might be worthwhile. The second is to augment the effect of a traditional treatment, be it a talk treatment or a pharmacotherapy treatment. And I think the third is to maintain wellness, that we often look at disorders as illnesses, and we forget that what we really want to do is just be well all the time. And some of the techniques, one I'd like to talk about in particular called coherent breathing, isn't treatment, it's maintenance. And people, just like cars, need maintenance. And many people take better care of their cars than they do of themselves. And I think we should all take care of ourselves. And one way to do that is exercise. One way to do that is not dieting, but diet. And a third way to do that is by learning breathing techniques that I think help alter the balance between the stress we feel every day and a way to reduce that stress without telling yourself, chill out, because that doesn't work anyway.
Before we get to breathing techniques, let me ask you why patients might be reluctant to tell their doctors that they're interested in using CAM.
That's a really good question. One of the reasons most certainly is that some doctors, and inappropriately, take a very negative view towards CAM. They don't understand it. They think that it's weird. They think that it's bad. And are you going to tell your doctor that you do something that your doctor might say is weird or bad? I think the other is that some people don't realize that what they're doing should be mentioned to the doctor at all. And some doctors don't even think to ask. So by opening it up, like any other topic between someone who takes care of you and you, if no one asks you, you might not think to tell. And sometimes if no one asks you, it's a sort of message. I don't want to know. And the way you change that is by asking. The National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, NCAM, has a very wonderful set of brochures, which is ask. And if you ask, you find out. And for all of us, because we're all patients at some time in our lives, to say to our caregivers, oh, by the way, I don't know if it matters one way or the other, but, and whatever that but might be.
Okay. Do you want to give a demonstration of breathing techniques?
I do. Let me talk about it for 1 minute, and then I'm going to going to play a rhythm that anyone can buy. And the rhythm was produced by a guy named Steve Elliott. And he has a website called coherence.com. And the CD is inexpensive. I think it's about $19. And this is a rhythm. I bought the CD. I'm going to play it from my phone. For everyone to know, I carry it around with me. Why do I carry it around with me? Because during the day, if I have time, I like to take a few minutes out of my day to breathe. I don't do it for a reason. That is, I don't do it if I'm stressed. I do it to maintain myself through the day. Some days I have stress, some days I don't. But it's nice to have it with me. If I'm in a private place, as we are right now, I'll just play it on the phone. Otherwise, I put my earphones on and I play it. It's a very simple rhythm. I'm going to turn on my phone. And it's a very simple rhythm that's designed to bring your breathing to 6 breaths a minute. And it turns out when we breathe at 6 breaths a minute or 5 breaths a minute, that the effect of that on our brains is to basically tell our brain and the rest of our body that we're relaxed. You never say relax, you just breathe. And over a few minutes, your body will respond to that. And we know, because there's data on this, that at that breath rate, you achieve what's called high heart rate variability, which is a sign that your body is very adapted to whatever might come next. And so I'm going to turn this on, and we'll just listen to it. And what you hear is a chime and clicks. It just repeats itself for 25 minutes. So once you're ready, you make yourself comfortable. You can do it with your eyes open or your eyes closed. It doesn't have to be a big breath, just a smooth breath. And I'm going to breathe with my mouth open so everybody can hear me breathing, but normally you do it with your nose because you dry out your mouth otherwise. And we'll wait until the next chime and then I'll breathe. Now what you hear is a smooth breath in and a smooth breath out. And so the hard part of this is just practicing a little bit to get the breath smoothly in and at the very top of the breath to let the breath smoothly out and just breathe in and out. And we'll play this for a minute for everybody to get it. And what I sometimes do in my head is in my head, I don't say this out loud, is I count. And that way I know when to breathe in and when to breathe out. And it goes like this. In, 2, 3, 4, out, 2, 3, 4. So this way in my head, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. When I get to 4, I'm either breathing in or breathing out. And if you do this for 5 or 6 minutes, you'll feel your body, just as if you were exercising, get into a rhythm, and your body will slow down. And when you're done, let's say you do it for 6 minutes, 7 minutes, you won't feel dizzy, you won't feel buzzed, but I know it's a terrible word, but you feel centered. I'm going to turn it off.
Thank you. Before we sign off, let me ask you if you have anything else you'd like to tell therapists who incorporate Camel Ready, or if they have patients who are interested in using it. Any words of advice or how to get them to integrate this?
Well, I think one way to integrate any of these kinds of therapies into practice or into your life is to get some information. There are good books written about it. Several books have been written about CAM therapies. There are websites that speak to it. Get information. We research all kinds of things, and the wonderful thing about information today is you don't even have to leave your home. You can get it on the internet. So there are many places where you can get information, and before you incorporate it into your practice with patients or before you choose to use it yourself, be sure that you've read something about it and you know what you're doing.
Thank you, Dr. Muskin. We will all, I'm going to download that myself and start using it. Thanks again. And this is Jean Kaplan-Tycho for ADAA.